Of course they bring it home to the kitchen table. Tim, my house is like Gangs of New York.
Then I'd stop it. Jack, stop roundhouse kicking your sister in the face.
Welcome to Reluctant Adults, a podcast by me, Lauren Crace, and him, Tim Walwood.
Hello. Yes, what you're about to listen to is an audio dissection into the lives of two good mates, work colleagues, but more importantly, parents.
Now, these audio offerings serve as a kind of self-help guide as we go through our day-to-day lives, begrudgingly bringing up our kids.
This is Reluctant Adults, episode number 9, Extracurricular Activities. I kind of said activities weird, didn't I? I went, activities.
AKA, how many clubs have your kids joined and then quit? Hello!
Yay!
Hope this works because my computer's already shut down on itself once.
We'll call in the IT support in a bit as and when we need it. I'd be more inclined to say I hope this works because I've seen on Instagram today you drinking beers the size of your head. So mind you saying that, every drink you drink is as big as your head.
I have got a particularly small head. I got home, the sun was shining, and I was tricked. I was tricked into thinking that it was a summer's day.
Yeah.
And that what would be really nice would be to go outside and sit on my little bench.
Nice.
And have a drink in the afternoon sun. But what actually happened is I went outside with my can of lager, then went back inside to get my puffer jacket. And then I was very quickly joined by the dog and the child. So it suddenly became a not very fun and relaxing moment, but a really cold and busy moment instead.
Well, on your Instagram, if you had of... not had the brickwork behind you, it could have been a post from the South Pole, judging by the way you were dressed.
It's it was really cold.
And the funny thing was, as I was watching that post, I was also sitting in my back garden in my coat with a woolly hat on.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, because it was like, it was tricking us.
Flipping was. Went off.
I thought, oh, what a little... I think the weekend... with all the sun.
Yeah.
I was there. It pushed me right into spring, but it lasted 2 days, didn't it? And now we're back into like minus temperatures.
Yeah.
It's not minus, is it?
No, but it's not. It's not far off.
No. So I have had a couple of beers. You're absolutely right. But I had them before dinner. I started so early that I've since eaten.
Okay. So you're nearly hungover.
No, I am, because I've just had to... you've just seen me down a litre of sparkling water because I've got that overwhelming dry mouth and thirst that you get in the middle of the night. I've got it now. So by tomorrow morning, I will be grand.
I had a right one today. I took Lila to the children's hospital today for an appointment on her... She's got a dodgy knee and she had to go and have some x-rays and see the doctor about this dodgy knee that just basically just keeps giving way. But I had a right moment. It was ever so emotional. Basically, we walked in. And from the moment we walked in, the receptionist, the doctor, the nurses, everybody spoke to Lila. They didn't direct any of the questions at me, which I was absolutely fine about. But I just stood there and marvelled at my little girl as she, the doctor, you know, first of all, the receptionist was like, what's your name? I'm Lila Warwood. Blah, blah. What's your date of birth? Or blah, blah, blah. Where'd you live? And again, blah, blah. And I stood back and I watched her and I'd never really seen her be serious and answer all these questions like this before. And then in front of the doctor said, so tell me about your knee. She said, well, first started having problems kind of like the second lockdown and da da da, and started going into it. And I was welling up. I found myself welling up watching that. I was like, oh, my little girl's not little anymore. She's properly growing up.
That's amazing. That's amazing in loads of ways.
Yeah.
Because one, it's like the children's hospital, I mean, which just makes me weep even driving past it. We've had so many, you know, times spent there. But obviously they're there to deal with kids. Yeah. And so of course the kids are the most important thing. I just think that's ace. Of course, they talk to the kids over the grown-ups and direct their questions and put all their importance into the little people. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
No, it was really good. I was really blown away, and I just came out and I kind of hugged my little girl and I was like, come on, let's go and buy a Snickers Duo.
She was like, I don't want one, Dad. I want a 6-pack of Smirnoff Ice. Okay, well, that's a nice day. And how's the rest of your life been since I last seen you?
Went to the chip shop tonight to treat ourselves, didn't we? And the guy in the chippy, he was lambast. I walked in and he said, are you all right? I said, yes, of course I am. I said, because on the 8th of March, my children are no longer with me on a daily basis. And he looked me daggers and he went, but my school have delayed it. Apparently they've delayed it, yeah.
Oh, no, don't say that. So any minute we could get a text from our schools going,
saying, actually, we don't think. Yeah, pretty nuts, isn't it, that? I would have thought they'd have all had to go with Blowjoe's. What's his face?
Blowjoe's?
Yeah, go with his plan, but maybe not. All right. Myself was in hospital. Thyself was. Also, I've been and had my money's worth from the NHS this month because I also had to go and have x-rays. But that is a story we can touch on a little bit later because it does actually pertain to this episode, believe it or not, which is, have you been?
Do you know the NHS are currently in the midst of a huge crisis and there's people like you turning up?
Not here. Not where I live. Not when you're important. You go in and you flash your podcast list and you go, let me in. I've got a broadcast to do. I've got listeners out there.
Waiting for me. My week's been grand. I had a really, really good weekend. Really did. It was the first weekend in months and months and months and months that felt sort of normal. The sun was shining. Like, Saturday was just glorious, wasn't it? So we got up, we made a packed lunch. We went and picked up a mate's daughter and had a bit of a childcare bubble help so that they could get some rest. And we took her to the park with our lot. And then before we knew it, we were in the park for about 4 or 5 hours.
Wow.
We took every ball with us. We had our basketball, our football, and Jack's rugby ball that I bought him from the Middle Island Lidl.
Nice.
That was one of our half-term day trips. So there's a tip for you. Head to the Middle Isle, right? Middle Isle kids.
Unless it's workshop week.
Well, yeah. No household tools. Middle Isle. Have a gander. Have whatever you like. So Jack got a rugby ball.
Of course he did.
He's got no idea what rugby is, but it doesn't matter. So we got that. Girl's got some slime. That was, you know, wasted a good hour. So we were in the park there for ages. And then on Sunday, we drove to my mum and dad's house because it's his birthday. And gave his presents over at the doorstep, took a cake, just said happy birthday and had a chat with them and drove back home and was in the garden and but it just felt busy. Just felt like we actually had stuff to do. Went big Sainsbury's as well on Saturday to get my dad's present because nowhere else is open. So
where else could you go?
Big Sainsbury's has got an Argos. It's got a small habitat section and it's got two e-clothes. So
small habitat section?
Yeah.
Flipping heck, how big is it?
Big, well, it's called Big Sainsbury's. So it's pretty big. So all my dad's birthday presents came from Big Sainsbury's. before I gave them him, it did come with a warning. I was like, I'm ever so sorry about this, Dad, but it is all from the supermarket. So that's what I did.
Nice.
And I've been getting a lot of messages from people about our episode last week.
Have you?
Yeah. I think the episode was so brilliant, Tim. So clear and like the Channel 4 news that people think I actually am some sort of news correspondent. Because now when people speak to me, including Michael, my husband, or I'm just getting text messages, Lauren, what date was it when they said that travel was available to... And like, now everyone keeps asking me for the dates. What was the date of phase 3 again? And is that the date that we were... And I'm like, mate, let me check my little planner. So people think I'm like really clever.
Well, you know, you are.
That took a really long time for you to say, Tim.
I was weighing up the options if I said you are or you aren't.
So it was incredibly informative.
Good. I'm glad people liked it. Hey, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. How are you doing? Thanks for joining in. Thanks for listening. Lauren there is talking about episode 8, which is our plan for freedom, based upon the 4 steps to ease lockdown this year. So me and Lauren put our heads together and we came up with a kind of a little cut out and keep guide for you. So make sure you delve back in the archives and have a listen to that one. If you want, that is. But if you don't and you want to stay here, stay here. Welcome. Episode 9, extracurricular activities. We realised between us, didn't we? Our kids have done, do, and probably will do lots of groups. Lots of things, lots of, you know, after school clubs, lots of entertainment choices.
Lots just of opportunities for them to leave the house and be with another adult for an hour or two.
Yeah.
This theme is particularly good for today because I got a text this morning from our local football club, which my son goes to, which he did join when he was about 3, but then we eventually decided to maybe try him with a different sport at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, because Jack is somewhat of a he loves a gossip, you know, Jack. He loves a chat. And he didn't quite understand that when you were in the middle of a football game, that wasn't the time to stand and huddle with your mates and try and have a little granny goss with everyone.
Chin wag.
Yeah. Chin wag. My God. He's like a 90-year-old. He just loves a little chat with everyone. And everyone's like looking at him going, mate,
what? Get running.
Yeah.
Get running.
And then when he did kick the ball, he always kicked it the wrong way. And it, you know. And you'd think he scored a goal, and he hadn't. He'd scored an own goal. Anyway, so we left that and he went to cricket. He was better at cricket, but now he's back at football. And they are running an Easter holiday camp, which is 3 full days during the Easter holidays.
Stop it.
Yeah, I know. So obviously when this text came through, I was like, woo! Also, not just for selfish reasons, but he's actually really got into football now. He actually goes into the back garden on his own and practices keepy uppies and stuff.
Does he?
Into
it then.
Yeah, so I thought, well, this is great. So I didn't sign him up immediately. I thought I'll at least ask if he wants to go. And I did, and he said he did, so I was like, ace. And then Emmy said, I want to go. So I said, okay, well, you know, it's not free. You know, I've got to pay for you to go. You're absolutely welcome to go. But if you go, you've got to go. You can't just wake up on the morning and moan and say you're not going. So she was like, no, I want to. So I said, okay. And then Isla then said she wanted to go. But then she started crying because she wanted to go, but she didn't want to do the football. So she desperately wanted to go to football camp. But the idea of the football was incredibly upsetting to her and made her really cry about the situation. But yet she really wanted to go.
So how did you resolve it? What's the deal? Who's going?
They're all going.
Oh, they're all going.
We kind of left it for a bit and we're like, look, Babs, if you're not going to do the football, the whole point of the football camp is to do football. So if you don't do the football, you stay at home with me and we'll do our own thing. And then the tears, but I really want to go. And I was like, well, go then. But I don't want to do the football. And I was like, well, don't go. I mean, like, we're just going around in circles here, Bab. But she did eventually decide that she was going to try the football.
Right. Okay, good.
Plus you get a sibling discount.
Oh, so sign them up. Sign free. Them all up.
Might even send the dog.
We've got, I realised, we've been talking about it because Lila, our eldest, has done everything. She's tried everything once. You know, you name it, she's had a go at it. She's now settled on, she does... When COVID's not here, she does singing lessons. She does acting, like dance, drama, school thing on a Saturday morning. And she does cheerleading.
She does cheerleading.
Yeah. Very American. Have you seen Cheer on Netflix?
Oh my God, it's brilliant.
So good. So good. Such a good documentary. So yeah, she does cheerleading, which she loves. She's a flyer, so she jumps up and...
Oh, is she the one that gets chucked?
Apparently, yeah. I don't think they're doing much chucking at the moment. me and Lucy were thinking that the little ones haven't actually done any groups. Ren went to one dance school when she was younger, but she just basically ran around and didn't do much. But the little ones haven't done swimming lessons. They've not done, no football or rugby or... Ren, like I said, Ren did one or two ballet dance things, but she just wasn't into it and didn't want to do it. So we kind of thought, we've got to get the little ones into something because Lila's running away with it, but it's so expensive that actually you have to kind of rein one in. It's kind of, rob Peter to pay Paul, isn't it?
Well, and as Lila was born first, she's getting all the joy and the other two are just going to have no skills whatsoever, are they?
I know, exactly.
The only thing they absolutely have to do is swimming.
Yeah.
So they have to do swimming and I don't care if they scream or they shout or they don't want to do it. They have to do it because it's a life skill.
They might go down the local, cut and fall in and then they die. Exactly.
Thank you, Tim.
I mean, hopefully they won't.
Hopefully they won't because they'll be able to swim to the edge. They'll know what to do. So that's what they have to do. But they've all done football. They've all done tennis. Jack's done cricket. They all go to this thing called Class Act Theatrics, which is like a local kind of drama, acting, singing, dancing group. So that is ace. They've all stuck with that. And the girls have done that from they were little. But even that, like Jack tries really hard and he's in the group above them and they do these really sweet shows at the end of every term. But the girls' first Christmas show, it was in like the local like big Methodist church and it was like gorgeous and it was all really Christmassy and it was obviously this is pre-COVID, so it was rammed with all, you had to buy tickets. It was absolutely rammed. And, you know, the girls are only like 2 inches tall. And at this point, they're only 3 years old. And so they're being carried everywhere by the bigger girls. And obviously, they just love it. But then you get them up the front. I'll have to find the video. And so they've got all, they're singing their Christmas songs and they've got all these special dance routines that they've been taught. And all the other kids are absolutely like, have obviously really learnt it, know every move, has stood there grinning at their mums with their pink lipstick and blue eyeshadow. Isla is pulling a Mooney at the front. And I'm there grinning, going, come on, darling, come on. And she's pulling her trousers down. And then she's pulling her T-shirt up over her head like this. So she's got a little body on show. Stood. And obviously because they're small and I guess cute at that when they were that age, they're right at the front, right in the middle, and just like, like apps. And I was like, oh, no, making a fool of me. Yeah, so they never behave in their shows.
Yeah. Well, not yet.
No,
you
want to
start worrying when they're doing it when they're like 8, 9, and 10.
That's no,
when
you're
you
right.
Start worrying.
No, that's true. That's true. What groups did you do when you were younger?
I've been trying to think. I did swimming. We were all forced to do swimming. Swimming in your pajamas. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It's funny when I just said then about the kids falling in the cup. There's a comedian does a joke which is about when you fall into water, you've got to make sure that you've changed and dressed into your pajamas before you fall in, otherwise you won't know what to do. So did swimming. We did swimming clubs. I did piano. Classic kid. I want to do piano. Gave up. Did a couple of goes. Dead rubbish.
And have you kept any of those skills?
Absolutely none. No, I cannot play at all.
I was an absolute serial quitter when I was a kid. So I used to do keyboard.
Nice. Posh.
Well, really? It's the opposite of posh.
Keyboard.
We had to learn keyboard because we didn't have a piano. So this guy used to come round to our house, but I quit keyboard because it was on a Wednesday night, and Wednesday night was when my dad used to go and do the big shop at Sainsbury's. So I quit because I wanted to do the big shop with my dad.
So, that is terrible.
So that skill went because I wanted to hang out with my dad, and we used to go with my nan as well. So I was like, oh, I just prefer to go Sainsbury's. Did I say Sainsbury's?
Yeah.
I didn't mean Sainsbury's. I'd never been to Sainsbury's until I was about 23. Safeways.
Safeway, yeah.
No, I hadn't been to a Sainsbury's till I moved to London. Safeways. And then on Thursday nights, I used to do swimming. And we used to do it at Moseley Road Baths with these beautiful old baths. And it's such a gorgeous building. And it was full of all my mates. But the problem was my swimming class, I think it was like two classes back to back, and it went on quite a long time. And Thursdays was when Grange Hill used to be on. So I quit swimming because I wanted to watch Grange Hill.
You quit swimming because of Grange Hill?
Yeah, because Grange Hill was on at 5 o'clock and my swimming ran over. And you know how long it takes to get dressed and everything after swimming?
Yeah.
And back in the 90s, there was no recording option or plus one or any of that,
no.
Tim. So if you missed it, you missed it.
Big time.
So I chose to choose Grange Hill over learning how to do backstroke.
How's your swimming now? Do you think you're swimming something? Every time you get in the pool when you're in Lanzarote, you're like, God damn, Jaffa and the Grange. What was his name?
I don't think it wasn't Jaffa.
Jammo. Anyway, you get in the pool and you're like, oh, I can only do front crawl or I can only do breaststroke because of Grange Hill.
No, I can do my breast and my front and all of that, backstroke. But I hate swimming.
Do you?
I love it on holiday. Give me a pool with a cocktail and a float.
I mean, that's not swimming. That's...
No, what I mean is I love a swimming pool. I like water on holiday in a hot country. That's what I mean.
Okay.
What I don't like is swimming in communal changing room, baths type places where there's condensation dripping from the ceiling. And I have such OCD that I'm not able to physically put my feet on the floor where other people are walking. So I'm like tiptoeing around having panic attacks.
Yeah, it's pretty minging, isn't it?
I absolutely hate swimming. I also, makes me want to gag, taking my kids swimming as well. You know how I've got a thing about hair?
Yeah.
Can you imagine a worse place for me than a swimming baths?
Yeah. Wet hair.
Oh.
Everywhere.
Oh, my God. It's awful. It is awful. I hate it. I hate going in the change rooms and having to dress them, and then they drop their clothes on the floor, and I literally freak out. And I'm like, do not drop your clothes on the floor.
You're going to get wet legs.
It's not even that. It's like, what if your clothes go on something on the floor, and then I pick your clothes, but
You know, you can get therapy for this kind of thing.
I think I do need therapy. I actually think I do need therapy because it's getting worse the older I get.
Is it?
Yeah.
And I bet the kids love swimming as well, don't they? Or do they not now?
No, the girls love it. They love it. But it's absolutely... And I feel bad for this, but it's very much dad's job.
Is it? Well, yeah. It is in our house a little bit. Lucy doesn't mind it. Lucy likes swimming, but... Yeah, I definitely take the kids. I don't mind taking the kids in.
No, if we're on holiday, do you want to go down the pool? Okay, darlings, I'll walk to the pool with you and I'll sit on the side and dangle my feet in if you want me there. And
drink a strawberry daiquiri.
A strawberry daiquiri. But I'm not going down Tudor Grange with you. And I'm absolutely not going down no slides.
Wave machine.
Love a wave machine.
Did you ever do any form of self-defence class? Because they're pretty big. They were pretty big when we were kids. We did judo.
Did you?
As a family. Basically, we'd go into this
as a family, room. As in your mum and dad would as well?
No, me, my brother and my sisters.
Oh, okay.
That's just weird. The entire family going. You've got dad in the top group, kids in the little one. No, thanks. What belt you on, son?
I was going to say, I can imagine you and your dad getting really competitive.
We did judo as kids in Aldridge, and we went up to I can't remember what the place was. It was some kind of community centre, but they'd clear it all out and you'd walk in on judo night and it would just be 3 inches of rubber mats everywhere. So it doesn't matter where you got tossed in the room, you'd land somewhere and it would be safe and bounce, yeah. And we just basically go in this room for an hour and fight and wrestle. I can't really remember any kind of structure to the thing.
It was literally a free-for-all.
And I think actually it was... I wouldn't be surprised actually if the parents were paying to watch just the kids fight and bet on us like fighting dogs, to be honest. But it was... I loved that. It was really good, but I didn't last very long at judo. I mean, I didn't climb the belts.
I didn't do any self-defence. But I don't need it because I'm pretty hard.
That's the spirit.
But my kids do.
Yeah.
They've all been doing it for years.
Have they?
Yeah. Jack's been doing it about 3 or 4 years.
What does he do? What is it?
So it's just martial arts. So it's mixed martial arts. It's called self-defense. It's defense lab. So they basically do mixed martial arts and then... I guess they can move on to do a particular, but I don't even know what he's called, but it's led by Coach. He's just called Coach.
Sick.
Yeah. And you just, we don't know what his name is. My dad calls him.
Too scared to ask, probably.
Well, my dad calls him Jeffrey.
To his face?
No, he makes the kids go. So sometimes my dad, when we were like allowed to see people, my dad would take them on a Thursday night and then he'd tell them that his name was Jeffrey and he'd set the kids up and tell the kids to go and call him Jeffrey. This is absolutely enormous hench guy. But I'd die, Jeff. But he's amazing. And they all love him. And they're all kind of scared of him in equal measure. And for years, anytime there was any sort of kind of not great behaviour or anything at home, if all we'd have to go is, right, we're going to have to speak to coach. And that it worked. They want to, like, they just love him. They want to impress him.
That's great.
Yeah. So they
do that.
I'd like
to get the kids into that. I'd like to get really good. Kids into that.
The problem is, what I find with self-defense type classes is, are we just teaching them to kick the shit out of each other? Because I said this to Michael when we first signed up. I went, why are they doing, why are we doing this? Because, you know, I just think it's important to know how to, and I was like, okay, fine. But yes, they're learning how to, like, block and do all these, they just do a lot of hands across their head type moves constantly. So great, they're learning how to block.
Yeah.
But they're also kicking coach and kicking stuff.
Like, does it stay in the dojo or do they bring it home to the kitchen table?
Of course
table?
They bring it home to the kitchen table.
Then I'd stop it.
Tim, my house is like Gangs of New York.
Do you want any fish fingers? Jack, stop roundhouse kicking your sister in the face.
Yeah.
Well, hey, they're all at the class, so you could think of it as practice, couldn't you, really?
Oh, well done, you lot, for practicing so nicely at the dinner table. Wonderful kick to your sister's head there. Well done. And we could pretend it's practicing.
Conversely, you could enrol them in some kind of writing and literature course. That way you could they could, in later life, kill people with words.
That's a good idea.
Kill them with scripture.
So what? Or maybe they could write very scary, evil letters before turning up at their doorstep and giving them a high kick to the head.
I will doff you in the morning light with my roundhouse kick from my
left. Well, I think that's it, isn't it? Aptitude. Maybe I've got to just send them to their self-defense classes, but then immediately take them to a museum or to Shakespeare's birthplace or something afterwards, just to kind of even out the cultures. Timothy.
Go on.
You teased us earlier with your trip to A&E.
Oh, yes.
What did you do?
Well, actually, let's go back to the question you asked me earlier. You asked me, what did I do as a kid? And I only skateboarded. That was my extracurricular activity. Okay. I got from the age of 10, I started skateboarding and I loved it and I just poured everything into it. And that's what I did. I used to race remote control cars as well, but
of course
I didn't
you did.
Do that. I wasn't very good at that. So skateboarding. Well, I've continued to skateboard and now
I know.
Ripe old age of 42. In fact, last summer I got a skateboard ramp in my garden. So I'm properly having a midlife crisis and rather than get a fast car, I've got a skateboard ramp.
Well, you couldn't afford a fast car, could you?
Couldn't afford one, so I got a skateboard ramp. We found a new pump track for BMXs and scooters and stuff, and it's over in Whittington. And it's a bit like a BMX track, but with tighter, smaller little jumps and tighter berms, and there's four straights. You go down and around and back again. So as Lucy's sister is telling us over the phone, she's like, oh, we went to this pump track. I was, pump, what? A pump track? Where? Where's that? It's in Whittington. Whittington. So I'm starting to think, hang on, there's a pump track. I've never heard of this. It's only around the corner, so I'm like, right, we're going, we'll go, we'll be there. Yes, see that, we'll be there on Thursday, we'll go. And so couldn't wait to get the kids there. So, of course, on Thursday, we go. And I'm like a child, you know, very excited. Lucy's going, just wait, let's get the bike, help the bike. Let's go, you know, straight out the car. So anyway, run up there with the kids, jump on my skateboard. Kids all go off they go down the pump track to the end of the first straight. I drop in on my skateboard, give it one push, and then I'm down and I think, this is brilliant. And I start to build up speed as I fly down the first straight. And it's a load of whoops and bumps, essentially designed to speed you up as you go along. So as I'm 3/4 of the way down the straight, I'm going as fast as I've ever gone on a skateboard. And I'm thinking, it's actually quite fast, this. At which point I look up and see Ren has stopped in the middle of the track on the very last hill, which is about probably 6 foot high. And I spot her, and in an instant, as quick as a fighter pilot could do it, I judge I can get through that gap. Why? I shout at Ren, "Ren, don't move! Stay where you are!" So I shout at her, "Don't move." And I aim for the gap, and of course, Ren moves. And she walks straight into my path, and there is no avoiding her. There's no trying to go around her. It's I either kill her, or I ride the skateboard down the grass verge.
So which did you choose?
I opted for the latter. I opted to go. Yeah.
Fair
I opted
enough.
To. Yeah, probably wise. I opted to ride my skateboard down the grass. And as I pulled off onto the grass, the moment my wheels touched the grass, my skateboard stopped dead. It stopped dead. I went from about 30 miles an hour to zero. And of course, my body then just kept going. And I sailed off the top of the last hill, straight past Ren, straight over Lila, who was underneath me pretty much. And I just slammed on my face and my shoulder on the concrete berm. Just 13 and a half stone of Birmingham beef, 30 miles an hour to zero.
Bad.
On the floor, yeah.
How many people were watching?
Quite a lot, actually. Lucy was watching. Her words were like, "I couldn't believe how fast you were going." She came running over thinking I was dead.
Yeah.
Lila went, "Oh, Dad! Oh, Dad! Oh, Dad!"
Aww.
And I turned and looked at Ren, who was as white as a sheet. I think Ren thought she was going to actually be torn in half. But I went, "It's okay, Ren. It wasn't your fault."
You know, did you?
I was experiencing the phenomenon known as being winded. Yeah, I woke up the next day and I couldn't move my arm. So I thought, I'd best go to the hospital, actually.
Oh, so you didn't go straight away. You left it 12 hours.
No, because my dad used to work in A&E and he's now installed this thing in me where if you go to A&E, unless you're carrying in a leg, you're wasting the people's time. So I went in the next day and I have disrupted my AC joint.
Your air conditioning?
Yes. It's just basically where your shoulder connects at the end.
I was going to say, what does disrupted mean?
It's bruised. It's just bruised.
Okay, you've bruised.
Trying to make it sound worse than it was. So yeah, that's my extracurricular activity, which I thought was quite poignant, really, because I basically shouldn't still be doing it, really, at the age of 42, should I?
Well, I think there's loads of mums and dads like you doing the same. Trying to stick to those things that they could do when they were younger, thinking, well, I'm still young, I'm still fit. What's changed?
Still got it,
but you ain't got it. I once tore my jeans open doing the limbo in a nightclub.
I mean, that's just you out drinking. That's got nothing to do with children or extracurricular activities.
No. I was more thinking about stuff that I could probably do when I was much younger, be really flexible, but then less flexible as you get older.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I'm trying to think if I have any extracurricular. I used to do pottery as a kid.
You did not used to do pottery.
Of course I did. Of course I did. Very artistic, Tim. I'll have you know.
Are you?
Shut up. Yeah.
I've seen you use Microsoft Paint quite a lot.
I'm really good on Paint Pot. So on a Saturday morning, I used to go to Tap.
Yeah.
I'd do a couple of hours at Tap. Meanwhile, my mum and her mate was downstairs in the pottery bit. This is at Midlands Arts Centre. So then we'd go downstairs and then we'd do the kids' pottery class afterwards. So when I was preggers with the girls and we'd kind of just moved back to Birmingham, I signed up for a pottery class again. And it was really fun. It was me, my mum, and loads of over 70s. So I was the youngest in there by 50 years, probably.
Which made you feel great.
So I felt great.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it because I loved the goss with all the old ladies. Won't say old ladies because my mum's in her 70s, so I'll take that back. Edit that out, Tim. With all the women who are a few years older than me. So I really loved the chat. But I realised I thought I was quite a kind of patient person. But doing pottery made me realise that I would be absolutely amazing in a factory.
The repetitive tasks, but the wheel just wouldn't spin quick enough for you.
Basically, I just want something to take home with me. I don't care about the process. Whereas my mum and all the other women would literally, over a 10-week course, make half a pot. And it might take them a year to make this, you know, big pot because they're all doing it by hand. I was like, I'm paying 30 quid a week for this class. And if the clay and all of that is included, then I'm gonna get as much out of this experience as possible. So I literally every week I was just getting slabs of clay, rolling them out, splatting them in a mould, going, yep, that's a bowl, slapping some stuff, like get it in the kiln, cook it up. So I was like, I took about 20 things home from that one course, of which all of them are shit.
Have you got any of them remaining?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I've got one right here.
Oh, get it out.
So this one took me about 45 minutes.
I mean, that's just a tile.
I made a tile.
All you've done is paint a tile.
Yeah. So I rolled out some clay. Not even neatly, so it's really wonky. I really wonkily cut it into, like, what do you call these? Metro tiles.
Yeah.
Then I painted three birds on it, shoved it in the kiln. I could have made about 20 of these in one class. Would you buy it?
No, because I just saw the profile view and actually you couldn't stick that to the wall because it looks like a piece of paper that has been wet and then left to dry. It's not flat.
No, it's like not it's flat. No. It's not flat.
So with lockdown easing shortly, the groups, they're opening. You know they're opening, don't you? You know kids' groups are back, and they're one of the first things back, which is really good.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait to send them off. And did I tell you we went to the park, actually, the day of the shoulder break. And before we went there, we kicked a little football around, and Sonny, I said, come on, Sonny, football. And we're all kicking the football. And I kick the football to him and he runs out and he goes to kick it and he missed it. And he went, oh, and he put his head in his hands, all embarrassed that he'd missed the kick. And aww. I was heartbroken. I was like, oh, mate, it's fine to be rubbish at football. You're never going to be as good as me. I thought, I've got to start him in football. And so I said to Lucy straight away, I was like, we're starting him in football and rugby and this and that. And then she went, all right, but he can do dancing, he can do that. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, absolutely, of course he can do. And then that got me thinking, actually, when we were kids, it was boys did football and rugby because boys were boys, and girls did horse riding and ballet because girls were girls, and that's thank you very much. But now it's so rad that kids can do absolutely anything they want, which is absolutely how it should be. But the problem for parents is it now becomes £58 million, doesn't it? Because you've got to try them with everything.
Yeah, you have. Jack does football and he also does ballet.
Yeah.
The girls do dancing. They also now do football. Whether they do the football is a different matter, but we're paying for them to go to football camp.
But it's good. Kids should be able to do whatever they want and try, and it's exposing them to it and letting them just have a go at it, isn't it? And coming out of lockdown, anyway, just to go back to that, I guess, don't know what we're going to do. It is definitely swimming, because if they fall in the cut in their pyjamas, then they're going to need to learn how to get out.
They've got to know what colour brick to pick up from the bottom of the pool when they dive down
there. Absolutely do, yeah.
Got to know.
I guess some kind of martial art would be good. I'm all for one, coming from my snowboarding background, I'm all for them doing some kind of gymnastic or something that involves stretching and being flexible and having some kind of spatial awareness.
Do you know what? Every time you say something, I go, oh, yeah, we've done that. Like, we tried gymnastics. Oh, there's nothing we haven't tried.
And this is the problem. It totally ruins your life, the more clubs they do.
Well, when your dad makes all them jokes when you were a kid about him being a taxi, we are now our kids' taxis.
And what you'll find is, it doesn't matter what group it is, the duration of that group will be defined by the distance it is away from your house. So, for instance, what you'll find is Lila's dance class lasts 1 hour and 10 minutes. Now, I don't want to go there and wait 1 hour and 10 minutes. But if I drive there and drive back and then drive back and drive back again, that's 1 hour and 5 minutes in total. So it means that I'll end up being home for 5 minutes before I then have to get back in the car to drive and pick her up.
Do you know what you should do?
Go on.
When I take the kids to the self-defence class, there is a really fantastic Mexican restaurant around the side. I pre-order my dinner. I drop the kids in self-defence. It's only 45 minutes. I go round. I collect my tacos. Then, like some weird old man, I go back to my car, sit there with the light on in my car, and eat my tacos on my own.
Oh, God.
That's what you should do. It's lovely. You know, it's my favourite part of the week.
Mate, do you know in certain parts of King's Heath, you're known as the crazy taco lady?
Fine by me.
There she is. There's the crazy taco lady.
They're like, oh, she's gone for 2 beef and 2 chicken tonight.
Yeah, so kids galore, swimming, some kind of fighting. Lila starts back singing properly. She's been doing her singing lessons over Zoom, but they can now do those face-to-face.
Do you laugh when she does her singing lessons?
She'll never hear this. Yes, I do. Because she's kind of... Although I say she's terrible, her taste in music is brilliant.
Oh, is
it? Yeah, like she came out the other day and she's learning to sing a song by The Shins. And I was like, oh my God, yes.
Is that her choice or the teacher's?
Hers. She'd heard it on Stranger Things. And another song we got in the car today on the way to the hospital. She only puts The Clash on. She was like, I love this song. I was like, The Clash?
Wow. Yes.
So she does have quite a good taste in music. So who knows how she'll end up and what she'll end up singing.
Look, at the end of the day, they can do all the clubs they like. They can quit all the clubs they like, as long as it gets them out of the house, away from us, and they come home happy.
Yeah.
We get a chance to do nothing. That is the main thing. And if they learn a skill at the end of it, even better.
Yeah, because, I mean, look at me. If I fell in the canal in my pyjamas, I'd be fine.
And if I'd carry on learning swimming lessons, I probably would never have become an actor because I would have missed all those fabulous episodes of Grange Hill.
Oh, see? God loves a trier.
Absolutely. Oh, well, Tim's nice to see you.
Lovely to see you, Bab. What an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, everybody, for listening once again. Please leave us a review if you've got an Apple product. Slide your way down to the bottom. Give us some stars. Leave a review. It will help us climb, as Tim says, the podcast
ladder.
Hall of Fame. I forgot what you said.
Mate, doesn't matter. I make it up every time anyway. Yeah, all the links, any kind of bits, we'll put in the show notes. Thanks loads for listening, sharing all your stories, just generally being a part of this podcast. We get some really nice feedback and it's really nice to hear that our misadventures are chiming with you lot. So thanks so much.
And next time we speak to you all, kids will be back in school.
Mate,
so enjoy. Enjoy. Don't forget to get your tin bin out and burn all of that homeschool work.
We'll see you next week.
Ta-ra, Bab.
Bye.
Bye.